Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome into Game Day. Who dat? Steve Geller, Charlie Long, and also Coleman hanging out with you here on First Take. Caesars Sportsbook, First Take, that is, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Black and gold week three action in Seattle. Gentlemen, Charlie, how you feeling today?
I'm looking forward to it, man. It's been a weird kind of tour of the NFC West so far for the black and gold, hasn't it? Like where you start off the year with Arizona, and then you host the 49ers. Now you're going to Seattle to play the Seahawks.
Getting them out the way early.
Yeah, I mean, the NFC West is off to a great start this year, but it's also maybe because they're playing the NFC South. Like, I know the Cardinals beat up on the Panthers, and the Rams are off to a 2-0 start. All these 2-0 teams in this division. And then the Seahawks sitting in fourth place at 1-1, Steve. So they're looking for a big win today, but so are the Saints, looking to get out of that 0-2 hole.
Felt odd coming to the studio today, honestly. It has been a while since I've been in here for the pregame show, because preseason action, we had, what was it, the last two games in the Dome, and then the first two games of the regular season. So it's been a good month.
Steve, it's been a full month since I've done this show. Like, we did the very first preseason game, like, oh, great, football's back. And then, you know, the next 2 weeks we're at home for the preseason, and the first 2 weeks of the regular season we're at home. So I've taken a good month off of doing this show with you, so it's good to be back.
Looking at the injury update from the game status of guys going into this matchup, week three, Saints-Seattle, we know there are two out for this contest for the black and gold, and four are questionable. The two out, Dylan Raidins, offensive lineman, and also defensive end Chase Young, also out this game. Man, oh man, that's one of the more disappointing outcomes from training camp for me, Charlie, is not having Chase Young in action. We all raved about what he looked like, what he sounded like, felt he was much more comfortable with his team, with his players around him, and even with this scheme with Brandon Staley. I know the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, expecting big things for Chase Young this season, and well, now it's a third straight game. We're not seeing him in action at all.
Chase has dealt with injuries throughout his career.
Oh, I've got a buddy back home in Jersey that's a Commanders fan. He's like, I told you.
Dating all the way back to his time with Washington. But, you know, when he cropped up with this injury late in kind of the process, it sounded like it wasn't going to be too bad and that Chase was very optimistic about getting himself back on the field. But being out for a third straight week, you know, I think we expected it to maybe be the first week, maybe the second week, but the third week as well is a little bit disappointing, especially because, Steve, we'll get into the breakdown of this matchup against the Seahawks. This is a huge game, and I mean a huge game for the Saints defensive front.
We got trench warfare to keep an eye on big time this one.
And as we were talking about, you know, the injury report and what the Seahawks are going to be dealing with, they're going to be without Zach Charbonnet, their RB2. And it's kind of almost a split backfield in Seattle where you have Kenneth Walker maybe as their RB1, but Charbonnet is basically their RB1A or 1B. I mean, so you have that kind of two-headed monster in the backfield, and without him available, he's doubtful for the game. But I think when we were talking with Jim Mueller, the Seahawks sideline reporter on Friday, anytime that Seattle's listed a player as doubtful so far this year, they haven't played. So we'll see if that trend continues. He's not completely listed as out just yet, but it's likely going to be out. Sam Darnold relies on play action, a lot. So if you can run the football, if you're Seattle, he's going to be better. At the same time, if you can get pressure on him in true dropback sets, like, you're going to have success against Darnold and that Seahawks offense. But to be able to do that, you got to stop the run. Once again, Charbonnet is not going to be playing. It's going to be Kenneth Walker receiving a majority of that load at the running back position. If you can slow him down and also get pressure on Darnold in those true dropback sets and third and long situations, that's going to be a huge key for this game. But the Saints' defensive front hasn't been great at that so far this year. It's been Carl Granderson. I know Cam Jordan had the really good week one. But really, without Chase Young available, this is kind of circling all the way back to my point, is that the Saints' defensive front has not been very good at getting pressure so far this year. That's going to have to change today.
Yeah, you mentioned with Zach Charbonnet for Seattle, doubtful. They got three others, Nick Emmanuel, safety, another safety, and Julian Love, and corner Devin Witherspoon, doubtful. So they are hurting big time in the secondary.
Deuce and I talked about this on Friday. Maybe not as many people know about Devon Witherspoon.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, a former top five pick, and he has really lived up to that draft billing.
One of our guests this week said a Seattle Seahawks analyst basically calling him the heart and soul of that squad, and maybe the entire team.
He plays like nickel because it's a 3-4 defense, and so he'll play nickel from time to time. He's a fantastic cornerback. But, you know, they're without him, or they're likely going to be without him, and two safeties with Julian Love and Nick Emmanuel. Kind of on the inverse, like we were just saying, if the Saints' defensive front can win this battle against the Seahawks' young offensive line, get pressure on Darnold, stop the run, you're going to be looking good there. The opposite side, if the Saints' offensive line can hold up against a ferocious Seattle defensive front, there's going to be guys in the backfield that Spencer Rattler and that Saints' offense can pick on. But he's got to have time to throw.
Right.
So that's obviously a key as well.
More from the injury front here. We'll wrap it up with the questionables now for the Saints. Taliese Fuaga, definitely a big concern there. Knee and back issue for him. Didn't practice all week. Still, though, questionable for this matchup. I'm sure he's trying to go out there on pregame warm-up, see how he's feeling. Trevor Penning, we mentioned, was limited in practice all week, recovering from that toe issue. He is questionable. Trey Palmer, wide receiver, was limited on Wednesday, didn't practice Thursday and Friday. He is questionable in the matchup. And then wide receiver Devon Valet kind of appeared late in the week with an injury, dealing with a hip issue, limited on Thursday, limited on Friday, so is questionable for today.
Right.
I was hoping to see that continued development for him. So I'm hoping Valet can play just because we saw him at least in game one. He had a catch for a key first down, great. And then last game, he only had one catch, but it was for a touchdown. So baby steps there. You saw his more involvement in this offense. And obviously, more weapons for Spencer Rattler, the better.
Yeah, and you hated to see him kind of crop up on the injury report because you thought everything was going to be good there. But, Steve, we'll see if he ends up playing. The questionables, that offensive line, if Trevor Penning can play, then he'll make his debut at left guard.
You're hoping so with Raiden's down.
Raiden's
was filling him for him.
Correct. So your backup is already out. He didn't even take the trip with the team to Seattle from what I had kind of read.
It was odd for me. I don't recall the last time that I saw an injury report come on Thursday and already list somebody out.
Yeah, he was completely out.
Right.
So Raiden's, who has been filling in for Penning, is out. So if Penning can't go, I mean, what do you really have there? Is it going to be Torricelli Simpkins making his NFL regular season debut at left guard? That might be what you see. So, but hopefully it will be Penning making his Saints debut at left guard in the regular season. And then at right tackle, Fuanga, like, he hasn't really looked right early on in the season. And it's obviously due to injury. It's not due to talent or any kind of, I guess, play on the field, because Fuanga's, he showed how good he can be last year.
And then you got to worry if that knee issue he was dealing with also ended up causing the back issues as he's compensating for the knee.
Yeah, and you saw that he kind of got scorched on the final play that Rattler got sacked on. So, I mean, you want him to be healthy for the stretch run, but obviously this is a big game for the Saints as well, so we'll see if he ends up going. If he doesn't, it's going to probably be Awesome Richards, the player that they traded with the Cowboys for earlier in the offseason. He kind of got some reps at right tackle as well. And I remember Jeff Nowak, our Saints Island reporter, had an interview with Awesome, and he said that that was the first time that he had ever played right tackle, and he looked pretty good, right? So he's going to be maybe the Saints' new swing tackle, where he'll play left tackle, he'll play right tackle, wherever really he needs to fill in, basically. So, if Tally can't go, which, you know, we'll see, he's questionable, you can expect Awesome Richards to kind of fill in that spot.
The Saints did make some roster moves heading into this game. Not a good sign for me for Valet. when you see the fact that they've activated Kevin Austin Jr. from the practice squad for this matchup. They also elevated tight end Trayton Welch and defensive end Fidel Diggs and have waived tight end seventh-round pick Maliki Mataveo.
Right. So we'll end up seeing what happens there. Welch flashed throughout the preseason. Juwan has been off to a really hot start as far as his production numbers.
I'm hoping that continues. I got him in fantasy.
The targets. I mean, if you're talking about target share for a tight end, he's up there in the entire NFL. So Rattler's been looking for him. I mean, he's got to work on some of the drop issues. Like, obviously, week one, the potential touchdown catch was a tough catch. But early in the week two, he had some really, really rough drops.
Yeah.
He knows he needs to fix that. But just the amount of targets that he's been seeing early on, he's clearly a huge part of this offense. So hopefully he'll keep it going. And then also Trayton Welch being elevated for that tight end two spot as well. So, you know, the Saints, once again, with this Seahawks defensive backfield kind of banged up, not even kind of, really banged up entering this matchup, if that potentially new-look offensive line can hold up and give Rattler some time to get the ball out, you could see some good passing numbers for Rattler in this game, which you've seen through the first 2 weeks as well. But there's some exploitable faces on that defensive backfield for Seattle if Rattler has time to utilize his weapons in the passing attack.
Yeah, I'll say for me with Rattler, game one against Arizona was kind of, I thought, what we would expect from him this season. And then game two against the Niners, I was really impressed with his outing. Obviously, a 3-touchdown day, nothing to bat your eye out there.
Maybe his best performance as a pro.
No doubt.
And so, I mean, I think it was his first multi-touchdown performance as a pro, and he had three.
Right.
Against, by the way, a 49ers defense that wasn't really the banged up side of the ball. The 49ers were injured on offense with, you know, Purdy and Kittle down and all that good stuff. He went up against a lot of the top players on the 49ers defense, like the Nick Bosas and the Fred Warners of the world, and still stood up and had a really strong day. So you're hoping that when he goes up against the Seahawks defense, he'll be able to build on that showing. But at the same time, Steve, we'll talk about it a little bit more. Seattle's defensive line is pretty, pretty nasty.
For sure. You want to sound off here on First Take. Me and Charlie, also Coleman, hanging out with you till 1 o'clock. That's when the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, comes on. And after that, kickoff with Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister, Jeff Nowak on the sideline. That is 3:05 today in Seattle. Definitely noise is going to be an issue out there. A lot of folks have talked about it. But the best way to quiet a home crowd, put some points on the board early on and take them out of it. So hopefully the Saints can get off to that fast start. We'll hear a bunch of cuts from Deuce McAllister, Drew Brees, Spencer Rattler, Eric McCoy, head coach Kellen Moore, and even more. Keep it locked here on First Take. You can sound off 504-260-1870. Tell us what you're up to this game day, folks. Coming back with more of First Take after the break here on W.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and their team telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
EWL.
Rattler has it. Here comes some pressure, throwing to the end zone, looking for Juwan Johnson, who makes the catch, and that's a touchdown.
Black and gold getting a touchdown there. Spencer Rattler, one of his three TD passes against the 49ers last week. It ended up in a 26-21 loss, but definitely an impressive outing from the second-year QB. And I think that we're hoping that growth can continue into this Sunday. But man, oh man, we know it's going to be a tough all-around test against a Seattle squad that's a tough defensive front that's going to challenge this O-line as well as just really hostile territory. You know, you hear the Superdome being one of the loudest venues throughout the NFL. Seattle's right up there, too, with their 12th man being notable.
I'll give credit once again to Jen Mueller, who brought this up to my attention.
Okay.
When we were interviewing the Seattle's sideline reporter on Friday, Seattle hasn't been good at home. Recently, at least.
Yeah.
Dating back to last year under head coach Mike McDonald, I know that they got hot at the end of last season where they basically won seven of their final nine games, I believe, or six of their final eight games. They kind of, after the bye week, McDonald really got them going late in the season. And that's kind of bled into this year, specifically the defense. The defense was excellent at points late last season, and it's been really good early on this year as well. But a lot of those wins, they've been road warriors. From what I'm looking at here, Steve, last season, 2024, to this season, the Seahawks have only had one home game this year, and they lost it to the 49ers in week one.
Yeah.
But last year, basically five of their final six games at home, they lost.
Wow.
Like, if you're talking about when they got hot, they beat San Francisco on the road, they beat Arizona at home, that was the one home win that they've had, basically, you know, in the past seven home games that they've had. They go to the Jets, they win at the Jets, they win at Arizona. Then back-to-back home games, they lose to Green Bay and Minnesota last year, and then they wrap up the year with two wins at Chicago and at Los Angeles. So they've been kind of road warriors under Coach McDonald. They haven't been as good at home, which, I mean, the Saints have a historic home field advantage that they've seemed to have lost in recent years as well. They're looking to recapture. But that was something interesting that I had noticed. Now, granted, a lot of these teams that they've lost to at home were very, very good teams. Like, they lose to Buffalo and the Rams. They lost at home to Green Bay and Minnesota, as I just mentioned, and then week one to San Francisco. So it's not like they're playing like four teams at home. But at the same time, it's been an interesting thing that Jen had kind of pointed out there.
Right, because you think of Seattle as one of those spots.
Man.
Oh, man, so unbeatable at home.
Like the flag flying for the 12th man, and everyone's all excited and loud. And Drew Brees, who had come on with us earlier in the week, had said it was one of the toughest environments he's ever had to play in.
Right.
Because he had pointed out specifically the year that they won the Super Bowl in 2013, where they went twice. And he was just like, it was ridiculous. Like, you can't hear anything. So it's really interesting to me that despite, you know, that home field advantage that's been historic, they really haven't had success at home in basically the last seven games that they've played.
So you're saying they're ripe for the picking?
Well, once again, I mean, it's just like they're 0-1 at home this year. And then dating back to last season, like, it's the last seven home games they've played, they've lost six of them. So I think that's kind of an interesting trend to follow.
You mentioned Drew Brees, who we had on this week, talking about all things black and gold. We got to talk to him a little bit, obviously, about this Saints squad under head coach Kellen Moore. And how does he think the team's responding to their new head coach?
That was the first question I asked all the players, you know, all the guys that I played with. Hey, how you like Kellen? You know, what's the structure like? This and like, to a man, they all love him. They love the way this offseason went, how training camp went. They felt like it was the proper mix of, hey, we're working hard, but we're taking care of you guys, right? Like, just the way that they structured a lot of the meeting times and practice times and just the way that they've, you valued recovery. Right. And so you talk to guys like DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan, and others. And they love playing for this guy. So that tells me a lot, you know. Those guys, they love the culture that's being implemented. And they've been right there. You know, if they could have made one or two plays in each of these games and come up with a victory, we're sitting here at 2-0 and having a much different conversation. But bottom line is just about, you know, what, 70-80% of these games come down to the final possession.
Yes.
So it's just developing that winning culture, that winning belief. You know, whether it's offense or defense, you're going to find a way to win. And you just got to get the first one and break the seal.
Breaking that seal will be nice today in Seattle. A 3:05 kickoff here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. One of the things that's been a bugaboo for this Saints squad too through the first two games is just getting off to those slow starts, not being able to put on points early on in games. And Breeze talked about why a fast start is vital for that Seattle crowd.
That's the number one way that you combat a rowdy environment is you try to shut them up really quick with going down and getting a first possession score and getting somewhat of a lead. That's the best way.
Yeah, you know, for me, Charlie, my only time I got to visit Seattle when I was on the sideline was the year that Drew Brees, in the game before, hurts his thumb against the Rams. So we're in Seattle for the week, and I got that Teddy Bridgewater start in that game, which I ended up pulling out the win.
Was that 2019?
2019, yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
And what's funny is I got pulled off the sideline because our extraordinaire engineer, Robert Carroll, ended up dealing with a sickness, so I had to run the board for that game. Oh, that was, and I thought at first everybody's pranking me. I'm like, oh, I get it. I'm the new guy on the sideline. This is like a joke. I got a text at 5 in the morning. We're going to need to pull you off the sideline. Robert's sick. And I was like, yeah, yeah, sure, right, whatever.
And it was legit. That's
it was
crazy.
Legit.
That's funny. Steve, you know, one other thing about, you know, Kellen Moore, going back to that, that was a point that Mark Schlereth, who we talk to every Tuesday, had brought up that, you know, the way this team is fighting when everybody thought the Saints team was going to be the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Look at any different power rating. There are always 32.
Bottom,
the way
right.
that they've been fighting, the way that they've been battling early on in the season is a testament to Coach Moore and his staff, that they've got these guys really battling despite, you know, what the national media disrespected them earlier in the offseason. And they're obviously not the worst team in the NFL, like a lot of people thought, despite their 0-2 record. So one other thing, though, is that, you know, Kellen Moore and Mike McDonald. Kellen kind of snatched his chain a little bit as far as being the youngest head coach in the NFL.
For sure.
Mike McDonald was the youngest head coach in the NFL last year, and then Kellen kind of supplanted him this offseason as well. So when he got the Saints job, two great young minds, but obviously different sides of the ball. McDonald's a brilliant defensive mind. Kellen's a brilliant offensive mind.
More from Drew Brees talking with us here on WWL. One of the few players that he did get to play with on this Saints offense, tight end Juwan Johnson, who you mentioned has been targeted early and often, seems to be a favorite target of Spencer Rattler. Unfortunately, didn't come up with a grab in game one. Tough catch, though, from that Arizona defense closing in on him, causing the ball to pop out late. But then in game two, you saw some drops early on that kind of dismayed you. And what could have been some early points on the board against a San Fran squad that could have set the tempo. But Drew Brees talked about what maturation he's seen from Juwan Johnson.
You know what? Juwan Johnson came and worked out with me in 2020, COVID year, when he was coming out of college. We had taken him as an undrafted free agent, and he was a receiver in college. If you remember, he went to Penn State and then transferred to Oregon for a year. And he was really coming in as one of these kind of big hybrid receivers. Is he going to play tight end? You weren't sure. You know, he's obviously, 6'5", I think 220 at the time. But he was one of those like, hey, we could probably bulk this guy up. But when we trained together, it was all receiver for a week. And going into camp, though, I felt like, man, this guy's unique, obviously, just because of his size, that, man, he could convert and be – look, there was no better offense with Sean to turn guys into these hybrid weapons, right? The Jimmy Grahams, the Taysom Hills, and others, right? I've been proud of his development because here was a guy who, hey, you want to play in this league and play for a long time, put on weight. You're going to have to block, you know, as a tight end, but that's going to open up opportunities for you as a receiving tight end as well. And look, he's made some plays for us here over the last few years and has the opportunity to be a real feature guy, especially if our speed on the outside can threaten people. That's going to give him really favorable matchups inside. And when you're a 6'5 target, there's nobody in the interior that can cover you. You know, like there's a place where you can throw the ball as a quarterback where your guy can get it and nobody else can. So it's that feel of the zone, you know, holes and where the back shoulder is going to be thrown on the field and just all those little nuances that just require time between QB and tight end and yet can have, you know, massively good effects on just how dynamic the offense can be with a guy like that.
Saints big target there, and Juwan Johnson, you heard Drew Brees talking about, and that's why, Charlie, I have him slotted now in my fantasy lineup today. Tucker Kraft for the Green Bay Packers a bit banged up, so I'm not trusting him. Going with the more healthy Juwan Johnson in this matchup. Plus, like we ran through in the first segment, that secondary, especially at safety, is awfully dinged up.
you know, this is a complete side note. I am going to be starting Tucker Kraft, and I feel kind of nervous about it. Like, I was back and forth because I also have Njoku, and I'm like,
yeah,
obviously no one cares about fantasy, so we'll move off from that. Juwan Johnson so far, you know, last year you could probably call his quote-unquote breakout season. It was career highs in receptions, career highs in targets, and receiving yards. It wasn't his career high in touchdowns because he had that back in 2022. But through two games, and I get it's a two-game sample size, 13 receptions on 20 targets so far this year.
He's getting the targets, just got to bring more in.
6.5 receptions per game, though, Steve. If you stretch that out over a 17-game season, you realize how many that is?
Right.
It's like 110 receptions. Granted, once again, two games, small sample size. 125 receiving yards. Stretch that over a 17-game season from, you know, it's basically 65 receiving yards per game. You're looking at close to a 1,000-yard season over a 17-game stretch. That's the type of pace that he's on right now.
But that's what he's getting paid for.
Well, yes. No, actually, yes.
Like, I know. That's what fans will say, though.
They paid him to be this type of receiver for the Saints offense. So, obviously, the drops have been a little bit of an issue early on, but the targets are really outrageous, considering last year in this, once again, quote-unquote breakout year where he had career highs in receptions, targets, and receiving yards, he finished in 17 games with 66 targets. He's already got 20-2. Like, Rattler is going to him early and often in games.
Security blanket.
Obviously, you want to see him reel in the easy passes that right. he's dropped and maybe reel in some of those real tough catches as well. But Juwan Johnson early on this year has really made a name for himself. And that's why a lot of, going back to fantasy, a lot of fantasy people are hopping on the hype train because the production has been there early on this season as far as target share, as far as receptions, as far as yardage. Now, you know, you need to just kind of stay consistent throughout the season. That's been really the question about Juwan.
We had a, you know, future Hall of Famer, soon to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, Drew Brees, with us on Wednesday. He'll be joining us again on Wednesday with QB to QB with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Obviously, we want his take on the quarterback position. Spencer Rattler in this offense, what's Drew Brees think so far?
I think Spencer is a really dynamic player. Like, stature-wise, he's a lot like me from the perspective of you're not the tallest guy, but you're athletic. You can move. Man, I love the way he throws the ball. He's made some plays running the football that have been really impressive over the last couple weeks, you know, getting some key first downs, breaking tackles. I mean, just some gutsy performances. You know, I know it hasn't resulted in wins, but we've been right there. I mean, honestly, I look at us and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Tampa Bay Bucks just found a way to win those two games, and unfortunately we didn't, but we're, you know, otherwise I think the division still is just wide open for the taking. So, look, I've loved to watch his development. I think he's a great fit for Kellen Moore's offense. I really like the stuff that we're doing offensively. God, we got some weapons. I was at the game a Sunday, and I'm looking out there at kind of the speed and versatility we have with the guys, you know, on the perimeter, and obviously Kamara and Juwan Johnson, and so it's fun to watch.
You know, Drew talked about there, Charlie, the fact that obviously things are winless right now for this team, 0-2, but they've looked like they've showed improvement in the first two games. And unfortunately, there's that stigma now, I feel like, around quarterback Spencer Rattler. You can say as much good as you want about the guy, but someone's going to throw in your face, oh, but he's 0-8 as a starting quarterback. And we asked quarterback Drew Brees, Saints legend, about that stigma.
I think we all need to, you know, be patient with the process here. You know, here's a guy who was a mid-round pick last year as a rookie and was forced to come in and play, you know, four or five games due to injury, and not just injury to Derek Carr, but also across the board. I mean, we didn't have our two starting receivers. We didn't have a couple of linemen up front. And so, man, you talk about being thrown in the fire, right? And obviously things are different this year. We've been able to, you know, get guys healthy, you know, receivers on the perimeter healthy. You add some pieces of the puzzle. You go out and get Cooks. You trade for Vile. You got, I think, you made some solid draft picks to continue to build that O-line as well. And they're right there. I mean, literally they're right on the cusp. Even last year, a couple of games where they're just right there. They just had to find a way to break the seal, get that first win, start developing some confidence and momentum. But when I watch Spencer play, he's got all the traits. You know, he's got some moxie. He plays with some swagger, kind of chip on his shoulder. The guys seem to like him and play hard around him and for him. He can make all the throws. Man, he can make plays with his legs. He's not afraid to take off and run and kind of lower his head to go get the first down. So for all those reasons, I think we got, you know, we have to be patient with him and recognize that, man, it's going to happen, and hopefully it happens soon.
hopefully happens soon. He talked about breaking that seal. We were close in those first two games, and it'd be interesting to see, can this team pull it off on the road this week? An impressive victory in Seattle. We know it's a tough, a long road trip for the squad. We've talked about the noise in the stadium, and we know that defensive front is going to pose a ton of problems against an offensive line that's been weak.
I feel so bad for Rattler with that record just hanging over his head, because it's clearly not his fault that they lost those first two games.
Right, but it is what it is.
And it's there, right? Yeah. But you've seen the steps that he's made from last year to this year, and they've been extraordinarily encouraging. For one of the biggest knocks on the guy was his turnover issues last season as a rookie. And this year, he's been protecting the ball. That's been, like, number one thing. He's not putting the ball in harm's way.
He still has a problem, though, carrying the ball and, like, scrambling around and getting it knocked out.
And you have to have some better security as a rusher, but as a passer is what I'm saying.
Like, no, for sure.
And he's had 80
better
passing
decision
attempts.
Making.
80 passing attempts this year. I would need to double check like the PFF numbers on that, because they have like the turnover worthy plays thing as far as quarterbacks go.
We know that one in the first one got saved by a flag, which would have been an interception for him against Arizona.
But still, zero interceptions early on in the season.
It is what it is.
Fantastic the first 2 weeks. And Deuce had brought this up on Friday when he and I were co-hosting the Fins and the Pro Show with Mike in Seattle, that the amount of passing attempts for him. Right. Week one, it was way too much against Arizona, where he threw 46 times. That is not what you want to see from Spencer Rattler.
From any QB, really.
Yeah, that's fair as well. But Deuce had said the kind of sweet spot for Rattler is anywhere from 30 to 35 passing attempts, where you're having more of a balanced offense. And that's what you saw in week two against San Francisco, where you still had, you know, about 30 rushing attempts and Rattler threw the ball 34 times. That's a balanced offense. That is exactly what you want to see. And you're not putting too much of the pressure on Spencer Rattler to be a superhero, because you're just kind of letting him manage the game. But as Drew said, like earlier on in that bite, that you have to get off to a good start, because if you find yourself in a 10-point hole in the first half and you have to get Rattler to throw, you know, close to 40 plus times to get back into the game, that's not a winning formula, especially against, you know, a Seattle defensive front that can absolutely get after the passer.
And trying to climb out that hole when the crowd has that energy behind them as well. They're into the game. They're making the stops on defense.
Right.
They're up by double digits, and suddenly the communication becomes even more difficult. And we've seen pre-snap issues in early on with this team. Game two was better than game one, but there's still penalty issues.
And potentially a couple new faces, at least one new face, we know for sure, because Raidens isn't going to be playing, and we're expecting maybe Penning to be that left guard and slot in.
Be.
He's questionable, so we don't know 100%, but you know, we're hopeful that he will be the guy. So there's going to be a new front five. There's going to be at least one new face. We'll see if there's two if Fuanga can't go today.
Right.
But there's going to be at least one new face on that Saints offensive front. So, yeah, that's going to be a big deal for them. And Drew kind of highlighted that playing in Seattle, you have to have elite communication, because you're just not going to be able to hear anything.
You can sound off on our First Take pregame show here at WWL 504-260-1870. Taking the break. We'll be back with even more after this on WWL Saints.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio. We're back here on the WWL Caesar Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Reminding everybody, Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program all season long. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations after 2 weeks, $4,210. Thank you, Venture Global, there. Back here on First Take as we get ready for a 3:05 start for the Black and Gold. And yeah, a lot different than waking up at for that 8 a.m. pregame show today, Charlie.
Yeah, I could get used to these afternoon start times because, you know, in a couple of minutes here, Steve, we're going to have the noon slate starting up. So we'll be able to kind of provide some score updates as they come available in the 12 o'clock hour. And then obviously once we get to, you know, the countdown to kickoff, it becomes a little bit more different. But as far as the First Take show goes, I mean, the noon slate today is pretty cool. So we'll be sharing updates as they become available.
Yeah, you mentioned that noon slate. There's all of the other teams in the NFC South are in action early on. So, those games will be wrapping up by the time the Saints are getting ready to kick off. Interested to see. Obviously, there's an interdivisional showdown with the Atlanta Falcons taking on the Carolina Panthers.
Man, the Panthers have looked awful early on this year. You know, we'll see if they can kind of get things together because year two under Coach Canales, they showed some flashes at the end of last season. A little bit similar to what they saw, what the Seahawks saw from McDaniel, obviously, or McDonald. I get those two confused all the freaking time.
It's tough, right?
Yeah, no. But anyways, as far as the Panthers go, they have not really been that competitive in their first two games. So the Falcons really had a great Monday Night Football performance against the Minnesota Vikings this past week in primetime.
Impressive road win, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the Vikings with J.J. McCarthy, there's some growing pains there. But
and now Carson Wentz.
They still looked really, really good in that matchup. And now they hit the road to face Carolina. And then, as you had mentioned, the Buccaneers also in action hosting the Jets and a backup quarterback for the New York Jets, unfortunately. The Buccaneers, man, they've been the bane of my existence in pick six. We've picked them twice. And the first week was that game against the Falcons where I had read this stat about home underdogs in week one in divisional games. They're really good against the spread. They're even good outright. And I'm like, okay, I'll take the Falcons. And then Young Wei Koo, who is no longer on the Falcons, misses that kick. And then week two, the Buccaneers, it's like they got a horseshoe up their behind. You know what I mean? Like, they're just lucky. They're being able to pull out these wins with Baker Mayfield. You know, in a tight game, you kind of trust him to be able to do it. And they did it in week two as well to Houston, putting them to 0-2. So they kind of, I don't want to say they have a cupcake this week with the Jets, but a backup quarterback coming to Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers are looking to extend their kind of early season stretch to 3-0.
You mentioned the Jets have their backup in. Justin Fields is out. Also, Minnesota Vikings have their second stringer in. The Cincinnati Bengals, not early on. Good luck for some of these starting quarterbacks out there.
Absolutely. But as well, Steve, the game that everybody's going to have their eyes glued to,
also
at least
Commanders
on the noon slate, is the Rams and the Eagles, the rematch from that divisional matchup.
Man, oh, man.
That's a noon start. That feels like it should be a primetime game, shouldn't it? Both teams are off to 2-0 starts. L.A. going to Philadelphia, where
that game's not going to be even on TV here. I checked the guide for my YouTube guide before leaving the house, and no, we don't get that matchup at noon.
Who's on Fox? Do we not have a Fox start time?
I think the Fox game
is the Falcons-Panthers?
I'll have to double check, honestly. There might not be an early Fox game.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that. That would be kind of disappointing because the Rams and Eagles is...
Like a primetime game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, two of the premium teams in the entire NFC going at it. I think that would be an awesome game to watch. We did that for pick six. So, you know, for our sake and our poor records at the first couple weeks, we're hoping that the Eagles can kind of pull it out.
Eagles, amazingly, right now, 2-0, considering some of the issues that they've had in games. You look at the numbers from even like a guy like Jalen Hurts and their passing attack is redunculous that they're 2-0 right now. But hey, when you got Saquon in that O-line, that kind of helps.
And that defense. I mean, Vic Fangio knows what he's doing. They replaced all these pieces, and they still look really, really good on defense. So, yeah, the Eagles, obviously one of the top teams in the entire NFL, much less the NFC. And the Rams, that's such a fun matchup. I'm disappointed that that's not on cable.
My fantasy team, though, another one there. I'm just waiting for A.J. Brown to show up.
Hey, man, I got Saquon, so keep running the football.
Taking a break here on First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Caesar Sportsbook First Take, that is. Taking a break, we'll be right back. You can sound off on our Oakland, our WWL talking text line, 504-260-1870. Be right back after this on WWL. Welcome back into the Caesar Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Rolling on here, and forgot to mention today, Charlie, we're going to see a new look Saints from the fact that all white uniforms, we got the white helmet, the debut today. Hopefully they bring us a lot more luck than those black helmets have.
Yeah, is it with the color rush?
It is with the color rush,
yeah. That's going to be a clean
look. I've seen some of the photos early on. It looks pretty, pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Looking forward to that. And as well, you know, the Caesar Sportsbook First Take Show, we might as well mention the spread here. Since we've done, you know, the pick six on Thursday, we had it at 7. Seattle was 7-point favorites at home against the Saints. It has now gone up to 7.5.
So some more money coming in on the Seahawks.
Of money has come in on the Seahawks because, you know, we've talked about this before. The difference between 2.5 and 3 and 3.5, and then the difference between 6.5 and 7 and 7 and 7.5, gigantic.
Yeah.
In sports betting. So it's the difference between a push or a cover, all that good stuff. 7.5-point favorites for Seattle today. So a lot of money has come in on the Seahawks despite their recent lack of success at home. They think that they get it done. Seattle had a really nice bounce back in week 2 against Pittsburgh.
But like you mentioned, that was on the road.
It was on the road, exactly. Their week 1 loss was at home against San Francisco in that divisional matchup. But still, obviously plenty of money is coming in on the Seahawks to cover this game because it's jumped from 7 to 7.5.
Coming up next hour, we're going to check in Seattle. Greg Bell, who covers the Seahawks for the Tacoma News Tribune, will join us at 12:20, giving us a little preview and on-the-scenes look at this Seahawks squad coming up. Charlie mentioned that they've got a victory. They're 1-1 on the season, but they've had early, you know, their struggles at home have been notable, which is really surprising. And it's, you know, I'm used to calling it Quest Field. It's now Lumen Field over there.
And one other thing, 1-1, as we mentioned earlier, has them in fourth place in their own division.
Oof.
The NFC West 2-0 49ers, 2-0 Cardinals, 2-0 Rams. That is a brutal, brutal division.
We'll also hear some of Deuce McAllister's keys to the game. Keep it locked right here on First Take on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Who dat?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.